Because the brain is an organ that can be weighed, measured, scanned, and dissected, scientists have studied it for over a century. The foregone conclusion is that the brain is a computer made of meat. The neural synapses in the brain account for all of our thought patterns and mental experiences. Now, in his new book, Brain Wars, the scientific battle over the existence of the mind and the proof that will change the way we live our lives, neuroscientist Mario Beauregard declares that this materialist perspective of the brain is flat out wrong. He urges scientists pay attention to the hard evidence that suggests that we, the intangible stuff that we identify as ourselves, are more than our brains. Again, the name of the book is Brain Wars, and it's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Mario Beauregard to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate this.
Thanks to you.
Give me an idea of how you started to question this, of looking at the brain and questioning these foregone conclusions, this materialist perspective, if you will.
Yeah, but well, because I decided to examine a much wider spectrum of evidence, of studies, than what most neuroscientists do usually, because they, in general, my colleagues will focus on, for instance, the impact of lesions and specific regions of the brain that will, induce some impairments cognitively or affectively and so on and so forth. Also, they focus usually on the effects of certain drugs on brain activity. But in my case, I thought it was not sufficient. It was not enough. So I started to look at other lines of evidence. For instance, the placebo effect, which shows convincingly that our expectations, our beliefs about a fake treatment can profoundly alter the functioning of the brain and the body. And this is very difficult to explain within a pure materialist framework. I also examine research about the so-called psi phenomena, you know, the phenomena investigated by people that are called parapsychologists. And again, I saw evidence, in the studies done by these researchers that mind can exert a non-local action. That is, it can exert an influence and can also treat or process information located not only inside the brain and the body, but outside of the confines of the brain and the body. Then I investigated also the so-called near-death experience phenomenon. And this is particularly interesting for me because in near-death experience, when it is induced by a cardiac arrest, the brain will cease functioning after about 10 to 20 seconds. So if you measure brain activity using what we call electroencephalography, or EEG, you will see that following a cardiac arrest, the EEG becomes totally flat within a few seconds. In theory, in that kind of state, consciousness and higher mental functions like memory, perception, emotions, reasoning, and self-awareness, these functions are not possible. They're deemed totally impossible. Yet, we have over 100 cases now of reports that have been published in the last decades in various scientific journals indicating that people, you know, who are clinically dead during a state of cardiac arrest can be able to have conscious mental experience. They can have veridical information or perception about what's going on during the reanimation procedures, for instance. They can provide details about some of the surgical instruments that can be used, or if it's during a surgery. They can provide information that can be confirmed later on by the medical staff, for instance. And so this indicates, strongly suggests, that what we call mind, the higher mental functions and consciousness, they are closely associated with the brain in normal, under normal circumstances. Yet, during these near-death experience, especially during cardiac arrest, it shows that these processes, these mental processes, can operate even if the brain is not functional.
So there is a scientific explanation for this unexplained phenomena, like the near-death experience or an object being moved by using our thoughts.
Yes, yes. There's no theory widely accepted, yes, but already there are some models and hypotheses proposed. And this concept of a non-local mind and consciousness is it's one of them. It means that we only have an illusion that our minds and consciousness are centered or confined within our brains and bodies, but in actuality, they are not. And there's a parallel to draw here with what has been found nearly a century ago in quantum physics, when they discovered the physicist, investigating the microphysical world, they discovered that there were very fast connections between pairs of particles, for instance. And so there was a deep interconnection existing at a very basic level in our universe. And the same seems to apply to, and also they discovered that these particles and or waves could act in a non-local fashion. So, what if you're influencing one particle and you're taking measurement about one particle, for instance, you can also, and you take measurements regarding the other member of the pair of particles, you can be separated by several kilometers or much more than that, but still you will see that what's happening to one of the particle influence what's happening to the other in a very rapid way. And so the same kind of phenomena seem to exist also at the macroscopic level, so it seems that not only the fact that mind and consciousness do not seem to be located or restricted to the confines of the brain and the body, but they can also exert influence outside of the brain and the body, and they can pick up information, at a distance also.
It seems to me in what you just said that the key word is can. And my question is, are all brains created equal in this? You write an awful lot about meditation. How much of this is on us if we are going to employ these parts of the brain? Are we all created equal, or do some of us have, for want of a better term, skills that others do not?
Yes, you're right. There are many, many, there are a lot of individual differences regarding not only the functioning of the various portions of the brain, the skills, the cognitive skills, or the capacity to regulate emotion, for instance, but there are also important differences in terms of the anatomical structure of the brains. If you examine several brains, you'll see that there's never two brains that are perfectly identical, even in identical twins. Studies have been done about this. So that's one point. But the good news is, yes, we are not equal in terms of our skills, but we can practice these skills and we can exert a considerable influence over the brain itself, over its functioning, and even over its structure. So, for instance, if you meditate for a few months intensively, you will change the not only the functioning of the brain, the regions of the brain involved in attention, but you will also change the structure of the brain regions involved in attention. So this has been now demonstrated in several brain imaging studies.
It's a fascinating book. It is entitled Brain Wars, The Scientific Battle Over the Existence of the Mind and the Proof That Will Change the Way We Live Our Lives. Mario Beauregard is the author. The book is published by Harper. Mario Beauregard, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Again, the name of the book is Brain Wars. It is published by Harper One. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.